All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. As we do every Wednesday at 9:30, it's time to talk NFL, which I think is the best person to talk NFL with. The great John McClain will join us now. John, good morning to you. How are you?
Joe, I'm doing great. I am writing stories for the Houston Texans website, HoustonTexans.com, and that gives me a chance to write while I do my talk shows, couple TV appearances a week, a video, and I'm all over the draft and free agency. And one of the things that I'm trying to study the most is what Rand Carthon is going to do, because he's going to have some really good players available to him when he picks seventh. And I'm wondering if he might trade down, because the Titans have a lot of needs. If he wants an offensive tackle, he could trade down and still get a really good one. And if he wanted a wide receiver and, say, Rome Odunze, and, of course, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers were gone, he could trade down and still get a real good one. So he's got a tough decision to make along with Brian Callahan, and that's one reason it's going to be so much fun by the time they get around to April 25th of what Carthon can do with his first draft when he's in total charge.
Yeah, you know, John, you know, drafting there, it's a good problem to have. You know, it's the one place, you know, in the top 20, you never want to draft in the top 20, because it means you didn't make the playoff. But, yeah, I mean, you got to think, John, you're right. His Rand's phone's going to be ringing off the hooks because team's got to trade up and everything. I'm just, you know, at seven, if one of your two big guys is there, I say go and get him. I know we've talked forever about, you know, getting draft capital and things in the back end. But if you know your guy is there and you're going to get him, and you're kind of unsure, I mean, just go ahead and take if that tackle receiver is there. But you got to think, and John, you've done this. I mean, these GMs are going to call him nonstop. If you're Rand Carthon, is there, you think about a price. I mean, how much do you want on the back end, right? It's got to be what you're going to get from this team who wants to trade up, because now you're in the prime spot, right? If you're Rand Carthon.
Yeah, and he's in a great spot because of their needs. You know, they need an offensive tackle, they need a big play wide receiver, and that's the two deepest, most talented positions in this draft. Cornerback is close behind. I've never seen a draft with so many offensive tackles, as many as eight could go in the first round. And if they don't go in the first round, there will be a run on tackles in the second round. Now, what he could do is, a big deal would be, how much does a team value, say, J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback from Michigan? If you look around, there's teams that don't have quarterbacks. Teams like Minnesota. If Minnesota loses Kirk Cousins, they pick 11th. What would they give to go up to be able to get J.J. McCarthy? What about Denver? Denver picks 12th. They're going to be desperate for a quarterback. The Raiders pick 13th. If they don't want to go with Aiden O'Connell in his second season, I don't think that he do, maybe they would be interested. Maybe, usually, that's the pick that I think. You could always get more for a quarterback, but if you could get two or three teams to do it, do it. Now, we're assuming Atlanta, which is one spot behind, is going to go with a veteran, like signing Kirk Cousins or trading for Justin Fields. So I've taken them out of that equation. But if, say, he has Joe Alt as by far the best tackle, and then Joe Alt, who's only played the position 3 years because he was a tight end, and I spent time with him at the Lombardi banquet here, and he was so impressive, not just his massive size, but his personality. You know, the son of a longtime NFL offensive tackle, John Alt, he's like Peter Skoronski, a guy with a football background, with a family, could come in, step in, and be there for 10 years. But, as they know up there in Nashville, you get a guy like A.J. Brown, a wide receiver, there's nothing like having a guy who can score touchdowns. And if a dude of their neighbors were to slip to them at 7 and Alt was available too, boy, that would be a tough decision.
Oh, I totally agree. John McClain joins us right now on the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. John, this whole Russell Wilson thing, I mean, is this just a disaster we think it is for a team to say, we're going to take all this dead money, see you later? I mean, it was bad as it possibly could have gone bad for the Denver Broncos in this trade.
Joe, I see some people talking about it could be the worst trade ever. No. No. What have the Seahawks done with those picks so far? The worst trade ever was Herschel Walker, Minnesota to Dallas. Jimmy Johnson turned that into three Super Bowls in 4 years, two with him as the head coach, one with Barry Switzer. Now, if the Seahawks win three Super Bowls in 4 years with the pay, all the picks they got, then yes. But right now, the worst part, Seattle did great, of course, 2 ones, 2 twos, and another pick for Wilson and a four, and they got three players, including two starters. But they haven't, you know, they haven't been a Super Bowl contender. They're lucky to even be a playoff contender.
Right.
And the thing that gets me, it's why in the world did Denver give him that contract extension? His contract was not up. And they hired Nathaniel Hackett, because they knew he was really tight with Aaron Rodgers, and they thought maybe the Packers would trade them Rodgers and he'd be happy to go to Denver because of his good buddy being there. Well, his good buddy can't coach a lick. When his good buddy's a coordinator, the head coach, that means Aaron Rodgers is running everything. And I'll guarantee you the Jets would like to fire him. But they're not going to upset Rodgers, and so Rodgers is going to be running the offense again. We already know he runs the personnel department. But why in the world, George Payton, the GM, gave him that contract, and Payton still got a job. That's what blows me away. And even though he doesn't have total power, that goes to Sean Payton. But the fact that Denver did it and paid such a steep price is one thing, but why they gave him that extension and they didn't have to, that's something I've never really seen explained.
Oh, I totally agree with that. That is just a crazy thing. John, let's talk running backs now. I thought Saquon Barkley would get the franchise tag. He's done. They let him walk. You got Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley. I mean, I'm trying to go back and remember when the last time this many really good running backs are going to hit free agency, and I can't recall. And I think these guys, I think they know they're in for a wake-up call. They're not going to get what they think they should get next week when it all starts.
I think they're going to end up, a couple of them might get $7 or $8 million a year with incentives, might give them 10. Of course, they're going to ask for more. The fact that there's so many of them out there hurts. You know, the Texans need a pack. They need to re-sign Devin Singletary. They're leading rusher, but he's not a full-time guy. They need somebody else. And I'm not even considering one of those guys. I'm looking at draft the guys that could be in the middle or later rounds. And there's not going to be a back go in the first round. There might be a couple go in the second, then third, fourth, fifth, or an Isaiah Pacheco like the Chiefs got in the seventh. That's what you need to do. That's what the Titans will do. You know, they're not going to spend any money on somebody to replace Derrick Henry. There's a lot of backs you can get from like the third round on down. And this is the time to do it. I've got like 17 I've targeted who are available in the draft based on what we saw at the combine. So to me, I'm not paying money for, I'm not giving Saquon Barkley $12 million a year. Here, people are saying, oh, give him $12 million a year. Nick Caserio, their general manager, has not done a contract like that since he got here. So far, his rebuild's working out pretty well. I don't think he's going to change his philosophy. And if he did go overboard on a player where we went, wow, I can't believe he spent that much money on that position, it would be a defensive lineman.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it's funny, John, we're talking about running backs and how the position's evolved and all everything that goes on with it. But, you know, one of my favorite teams growing up was the Oilers, and you covered them. Having a backfield with Mike Rozier and Lorenzo White and Alonzo Highsmith, I mean, we will never, ever see that again, that much talent in a backfield, because there's not enough footballs to go around.
And well, Mike Rozier was signed from the USFL, so he didn't cost him a pick. Lorenzo White was a first-round pick. Alonzo Highsmith was a first-round pick, third overall, and they were all trying to duplicate what they had with Earl Campbell when he led the league in rushing 78-79-80, and then still had almost 1,300 yards in 1983, and they were hoping to get that again, but Earl Campbell was one of a kind, and they couldn't do it. And then in 96, they got Eddie George. That was the closest they had come since Earl Campbell. So I think, like last year, Detroit drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. He helped the Lions have a great season. And, of course, Bijan Robinson went to Atlanta, but the quarterback was so bad with Heinicke and Ritter, they weren't able to do anything with him. But I think now they will somehow solve that quarterback issue and be favored to win the NFC South, and they'll have two good backs in Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier.
John, let's turn our attention to quarterbacks. Of course, a week from today is the NFL free agency hits pretty hard. Kirk Cousins, where do you see, John, Kirk Cousins landing?
Everybody seems to think if he doesn't return to the Vikings, he's not giving them a hometown discount, even though he's made $232 million in his career, and he's 35 years old, coming off a torn Achilles tendon, that he would go to Atlanta. Falcons need a quarterback. It only costs money, doesn't cost draft choices. His wife's from there, family's there. And the other thing is, does Atlanta want to trade for Justin Fields? Because if they like what they've seen of him, then he's got more of a future than Kirk Cousins does because of Cousins' age. Although now, as you know, Joe, guys, it used to be they hit 30, they were thinking about retirement, then 35, now it's 40. So Cousins could play another till he's 40 years old, or they could make a deal with Fields and then try to sign him to an extension of a couple of years to prove himself before they gave him, have to commit the really big bucks. Another team that should be looking at those guys is the Raiders. Now, the Raiders don't have a quarterback, and they didn't do a good job of replacing Derek Carr with Aiden O'Connell. And after Jimmy G was such a disaster there, you know, would they be interested in Russell Wilson as a bridge quarterback? I don't know. I don't know if Wilson's going to be attractive. I see all these guys on former players on ESPN, NFL Network talking about like he's still a Super Bowl quarterback. And then I see a stat that in their seven victories, 40% of his throws were at or behind the line of scrimmage. And I know that he doesn't have the arm he used to. So if you're a dink and dunk offense and you've got a really strong running game like Atlanta, would you be interested in Russell Wilson? Right now, there's just such negative connotation about him, but somebody's going to sign him for the minimum. Last year, he had 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, a 98 rating. And if you just saw those stats and you didn't see the quarterback, you'd go, oh, man, that guy had a good season. He's available. I'd be interested in him. Oh, Russell Wilson? And I'm not sure why that is. He and Sean Payton, they did not go together. Payton didn't want him. We knew he was gone. And I hope he lands on his feet at a place he wants to go. And maybe Los Angeles is one of those. Everybody thinks Ryan Tannehill's going to end up as a backup in Pittsburgh to Kenny Pickett. Who knows? But I don't remember this many veteran quarterbacks being available, which, you know, might knock some of these guys like keep Michael Penix and Bo Nix from being drafted in the first round.
Oh, that's a great point. I want to get your take on Baker Mayfield, John. I mean, here's a guy that had a decent year, got the Buccaneers to the next level of the playoffs, and yet, you know, they didn't want to – I don't think they did not want to bring him back, but right now there's a lot of chatter about that. Why do you think Baker Mayfield is not really been talked about, like, we got to go get this guy, when he's proven he can win games?
I think everybody assumes he's going to be in Tampa. People assume Mike Evans would not have re-signed with them if he didn't know who his quarterback was going to be. And they had 4 free agents that they want to keep, and Mayfield is the one that they need. Otherwise, they got to start over. I just believe he's going to be able to stay in Tampa. Maybe his agent wants to test the market, but I think they'll get it done, a deal done before free agency starts a week from today.
You know, John, I'm jealous of one guy right now, Legarius Sneed with the Chiefs, because he's probably going to get a lot of money if the Chiefs try to get rid of him. But here's the thing, John. It's like the Jags have interest in him. A few other teams got. Can these guys get in these bidding wars? Because if I'm the Titans, I don't want to see Legarius Sneed go to the Jaguars. And if I'm the Jaguars, I don't want to see him go to the Titans. I mean, it's going to be interesting how this all plays out in the next week.
Yeah, he's been considered a great corner for 1 year. I'm always leery of guys. Contract year, great performance, stay healthy. And if a team wants to keep a player, they can keep a player. Everybody said Mike Evans is out of there in Tampa. Well, they re-signed him. You can push money down the road. You can keep players on your team if you really want them. I can't imagine Kansas City's going to let Chris Jones get away, although 30-year-old players don't get big, long contracts. You just don't do it. It's a tradition. Don't give big money to a guy who's hit 30 unless you think you're that position away within, say, a two-year period. So I don't think that the Chiefs are going to let Sneaky get away, and I think they're going to find a way to keep Jones as well.
John, I'm a big fan of Christian Wilkins for the Dolphins. Did not franchise tag him. I mean, he's going to get a lot of money. I don't know why, if the Dolphins are serious, why not just sign this guy and lock him up? He's going to get a lot of money next week.
He is, and I can't imagine it either. I watched all the in-season Hard Knocks, and he was one of their leaders, a player that, gosh, all the defensive linemen gravitated to. They got their two ends coming off of torn ACLs, and they're letting their best defensive lineman walk. It makes no sense, because both of the guys who tore up their knees may not be ready till midway through the season, and you're going to let Wilkins get away? Makes no sense. Makes me think they're going to get a deal with Wilkins. But if I had a choice of Wilkins or Jones, and Wilkins is 2 years younger, I would take Wilkins over Jones.
John, was it 93 was when the first real free agency hit, when Reggie White went from the Eagles to the Packers? Was that the first kind of big boom with everything?
Well, that's when free agency was implemented, and the salary cap. And I felt so bad for Floyd Reese, you know, first time GM, and boom, all these massive changes were coming in the NFL. And but yes, I always loved it. Reggie White goes to Green Bay, and he said, God sent him to Green Bay. And then somebody said, well, you got the most money. You got the big contract, too. Well, did God want you to go where there's a big contract? Of course, he went where he got the most money. It worked out great. He was already one of the greatest players in history and a great ambassador for the Lord. I used to see Reggie White come to the Super Bowl every year. I can't remember what channel it was, interviewing players about their faith. And he walked the walk, and he talked the talk, and he got paid for it, and it was well-deserved. And I still can't believe Philadelphia let him get away.
Amen with that. John, before they go, if free agency would have been around in the 70s and 80s, is there one player that comes to mind that would have just set the record back then that would have been just amazing?
Well, first of all, if it wouldn't have been a quarterback, because they would have kept the quarterback like they do now. But the greatest players I've ever seen, defense were Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor. Offense were Jim Brown and Jerry Rice. So if you look at, say, the Steelers, who would Chuck Noll have kept? He couldn't have kept both John Stallworth and Lynn Swann. That would have been impossible. And who would he have kept, Jack Lambert or Jack Ham? So those guys didn't have to make the decisions today that they made back then. Safety Donnie Shell, cornerback Mel Blount. They're all in the Hall of Fame. They didn't have to make those decisions. So I'm going to say a skill position player or a dominant pass rusher like Jerry Rice, Jim Brown, Reggie White, or Lawrence Taylor would have cashed in the most.
Oh, Lawrence Taylor would have made so much money. John, before you go real quick, I'm an old NFL history guy like you are. Andy Russell passed away last week, linebacker for the Steelers in the 60s and the 70s. He's pretty underrated, right? Because he played with, you know, Jack Lambert, Jack Ham, and what a time to be a linebacker back then.
He was not underrated by the Steelers and their fans. Everybody knew how good Andy Russell was, a team leader. But the problem was he was engulfed by Hall of Famers. You know, he wasn't as good as Jack Ham or Jack Lambert, but he was good. He was very popular there. I think he had a good career in the media, and that is a huge loss for the Steelers and their fans all over the world.
Amen. John, as always, thank you for your time, man. You're the best, John. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Joe.